Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey guys, welcome back to Almost Nerdy. It's been a while.
Yep. We have actually decided to catch up on just like current movies that have come out. We spent a lot of time going through series, so now we're going to catch up. We're definitely going to hit up this week. We're doing Falcon Winter Soldier. We're going to be doing WandaVision. We get a whole bunch that we're like, oh, there's so much going on.
Loki's happening right now.
And Black Widow's coming out.
Oh my gosh.
And it's more than just Marvel, though. We've seen a lot more than just Marvel.
Yes. Marvel is just right in front of us right now.
Yes, so we're excited about it. But we've seen so much TV,
so many series, so many good things. Have the Nevers.
Yes.
That was pretty good. And so there's just so many great themes that I'm excited for us to talk about. Yes.
So this week, we are actually celebrating Juneteenth. It's on Saturday and today, so we're recording this on Tuesday. We literally just found out like a half an hour ago that Senate passed that Juneteenth is now a federal holiday. How timely, right?
How timely. The thing I asked Courtney afterwards, because it was a unanimous vote apparently. I was like, what planet? Like, what? Which planet is this news from? Are you talking about? You know, somewhere in, you know, Titan or something like that.
Where? Like,
Titan?
Where's that?
What's that dude from? Thanos.
Oh, yes. What is the name of his planet?
It's called Titan. Is it Titan?
I think it's Titan. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, maybe there. Maybe that's where the news is from. Except they're all dead.
Except it's here. Except it's here, for real, now. So, very timely with that. We are going to dive into Falcon and just the themes that we're seeing within that show and how just, like, timely it is. We said it in the intro. If you haven't seen Falcon Winter Soldier, please watch it because we're gonna like ruin it and dissect it. So do that, and we're gonna take a quick break.
Yay! Okay, so we are right back, diving into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Sam Wilson and Bucky, just going wild.
Well, not really. I mean, they're going everywhere. They're breaking all over.
Zemo out of prison. They're going to Madripoor.
They're traveling all over the world.
Yeah, they're just like everywhere. They're going wild.
Chasing the flag smashers.
You know, I love it. I enjoyed it. I really love that show. And there's just so much good stuff there. And it is kind of cool. We now have a new tradition of we go to the gym like at 5 a.m. and then
because we're crazy people. We also had the quarantine 15, but like a lot more than 15 pounds.
We drank a lot more wine. That's wine. Lots of good food.
We did too much baking.
A lot of baking. And but not just that, but like it feels good just to hit the gym in the morning. But the important thing is we started every Friday during towards the end of WandaVision.
It was the end of WandaVision. Once people started catching on and would start spoiling things.
Right.
Because like the first four episodes of WandaVision, people weren't really that into it.
They weren't. They were kind of weird about it. We don't really know. Then people got really into it and everyone wanted to see Mephisto.
Jokes on them.
Oh, what a headache
but
of
anyway,
a time.
Yes,
but say what happened. But then it became our thing, like waking up early in the morning to watch, you know, WandaVision, Falcon and the Soldier. And now Wednesdays, we watch Loki. So we do like a quick workout in the morning. And then we come back, make breakfast, whatever, get ready. And we watch, you know, the Marvel Universe and whatever is on at that time.
By the way, I have to be at my desk at 7:30. So, and like, that's why we do everything so ridiculously early.
Right, because Courtney has to start work really early because she's a boss lady. Boss lady.
Well, I mean, I have always worked at that time.
You have. But yes. Yeah, but that makes you a boss lady. Okay. The fact that you do it, you know. But you now you're also, like, you know, doing really well. Like, and so it's something that it helps us. And we, I don't know. Courtney will never admit that it feels good to work out in the morning, but like...
We're not talking about working out right now. Let's move on. So we watch it early, mostly because otherwise Shalom would have to wait until 4 o'clock for us to watch it, and he can't go on the internet all day if he does that. That's why we had to start watching it first thing in the morning.
I cannot go on the internet all day, otherwise I'll know what's going on.
Yes.
Or sometimes reflex. I've tried to not go on the internet. And reflex just happens. The next thing I'm like, ooh, what? Why is this trending? And then I'll click on it. And then I'm like, I think I made a big mistake. So we might as well get everything out of the way.
That's why we do, you know.
So we don't.
This is how I show that I love my husband.
So, I mean, sure this is how I also show that I love you, because I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for you, you know. Because you can tell. You can tell by my body posture, like, that I've watched it.
Yeah, I don't want him to spoil it.
And I'll spoil it for you. So I don't want to spoil it. So I'm like, let's just watch in the morning together.
Okay. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first and kind of lay down a few things. Mm-hmm. I think this movie is, if you want to just set a quick foundation, it's the typical reluctant hero story, right? You have a guy, you know, Sam Wilson, who is given the shield by Steve Rogers. He's like, yo, dude, here's the shield. You're now going to be Captain America. Sam Wilson is, you know, in Endgame, we see all that happening. But then after all of that, Sam Wilson is kind of hit with, you can tell he's doubting, he's struggling, he's kind of... he's afraid to become this person, right? And so he gives up the shield. And so the film has then, Bucky is kind of peeved about it because he knew Steve was going to give the shield to Sam, and Steve has deep connection to Steve, and Sam giving the shield away...
Bucky has a deep connection to Steve.
Yes, Bucky has a deep connection to Steve. And so Sam giving away the shield is heartbreaking to Bucky. And so the show has basically this tension of this reluctant hero, which is like the main course of the story, right? Like, it's like the reluctant hero who gives away responsibility to be this person for his personal reasons, right, that he shares later on, which turns out to be like racism. He is afraid that people will just look at him and say, oh, you're black, you can't be Captain America, you can't, like, you know, you can't represent us, you know, you don't represent us. And so that becomes kind of like the what gets revealed towards the end. I mean, we all knew that that's where it was going.
Yeah, we all knew that the real villain was racism.
Right, we all knew the real villain. This show almost does not have a villain. Mm-hmm. The true story is how is Sam going to deal with the race? To be honest with you, for me, if my heart was pounding, like, from nerves, right, was I wanted to know how Sam was going to deal with the shield. It's Sam's tension with the shield and how Bucky would respond to that. And I feel like a lot of people completely did not. Not everyone. There are a lot of people who tracked that, who went with that. A lot of people wanted this super villain that was insane. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this show needed to happen. It was a necessity. You could not have Sam become a black man, become Captain America without saying, let's have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so this movie is, whilst using like a trope that, like, we see a lot, you know, that reluctant hero, they used it to have a conversation that is very hard to put in a show like that. And I think Spellman did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. Marcus Spellman did a phenomenal job, like, writing the story and the speeches and the conversations. And that's why it's entered as a drama, because it's really all about that. It's less about it. So that's kind of like my experience with it. There are other factors that I think are very important, like the flag smashers. Mm-hmm. Speak to something that, like, we talk about intersectionality, like I'll share a little bit later about that. But, you know, there are a lot of topics that kind of lay on top of each other. But the main thrust is definitely how can you, as a black person, say you represent America when America has proven to be so racist and so, you know, from slavery to segregation to redlining to gerrymandering and so to today to police. Yeah. And so that's something that weighs on a lot of people's minds, and that's something that I kind of tracked with in the whole show. And I left satisfied with Sam's approach. I left satisfied with both Sam saying I'm gonna carry the mantle, but they not just carry the mantle, but that the speech in the last episode is what just makes it like just works. It's like perfect. It's like it really brings it together for me in my mind. Otherwise, I'll just have had this like this shield. There's so many guans, but. Mm-hmm. Guans are issues, slang is in from Zimbabwe, but it's this shield of so many issues, and the fact that he confronts the senators right there and then, and when he's like, I'm a black man wearing the stars and stripes. Mm-hmm. What don't I understand? Mm-hmm. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
You know, you can end the show there, because that's what
the
real that was the moment that the real villain was confronted. Not Carly. Carly's not the main villain. Carly represents something that's also very important that was part of the conversation, which I found people who found it underwhelming. I'm like, yeah, you were looking for the wrong things in that show. But yeah,
I have to say, I think Marvel was very smart.
Yeah,
to do Falcon Winter Soldier, because the fact of the matter was, the conversation was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
You were going to have people be racist about Sam Wilson becoming Captain America. You were going to have that happen. You were going to have people sit there and argue that, like, they don't think a black man should be Captain America, whether for, like, reasons that are either racist or for reasons like Elijah. Mm-hmm. Right, Elijah?
Yeah.
Yes. Like Elijah, where he's like, I don't think you should, because what did they owe you? Like, what does the U.S. owe you?
Right.
Like, why should you try to fight for them?
Right.
So, like, either way. And I thought it was smart that instead of just letting that conversation happen passively, they actually took hold of the conversation. And they were like, no, we're going to make our characters go through that.
Yeah.
Like, we are actually going to make our characters go through that. Yeah. And, I just think overall, like, they were very smart about the way that they framed that. I mean, we knew it was going to be good. Malcolm, what's the show that he's
Malcolm Spellman did Empire.
Empire.
Which has some of the best, like, dialogue.
Known for dialogue.
Right. Phenomenal dialogue.
Because I actually thought it was interesting. I was like, Malcolm Spellman, like, really? Okay. Like, he seems like a strange choice to write, like, a superhero show, right? But honestly, with the topic and everything, and, like, hearing more about him and how he's, like, known for dialogue, and, like, very solid dialogue, like, I was like, okay, yeah, this show is going to be pretty insane.
Yeah.
Like, pretty insane.
Yeah.
I have to say, the other thing that everybody's like, everybody's basically making the joke, like, the theme of Phase 4 of Marvel is therapy.
Oh my gosh.
We're all getting therapy now. But it's true. You know what? Like, I feel like Marvel's taking Phase 4 into this place where they haven't gone. They've always had this theory of, we make our characters relatable. And how can you make characters more relatable than putting them in situations that make sense and that relate to what's going on in the real world?
Right.
And, you know, they didn't just move on from the blip.
Yep.
Like, they didn't just brush past that. They were like, no, like, we're gonna talk about this.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the fact, like, we're going to talk about this when we do WandaVision. But it's like, we literally see Monica Rambeau, like, get undusted. And her mom died while she was gone. You know?
She got and dusted right next to the bed.
Yes.
That her mom was in.
Yeah. So it's like just these things. And then like, it's like the scene that will always get me. And I knew exactly where that scene was going was it's like, Sam was gone for 5 years because he was dusted.
Mm.
He goes to get a loan for a small business.
Right.
A small business. Mm-hmm. And he can't get that because he literally wasn't alive for 5 years. So right. He can't show like right. credit.
Right. That's crazy to me. You know? That's crazy.
You know?
That's like, crazy. Yeah. Yeah. That was very, that's kind of hard to watch a little bit because like, you're like,
you knew it was going to happen.
He's a hero, but not only that, but in other episodes, he also gets almost arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until the person
microaggressions that right, they, the microaggressions that they put in there, I think were right. really smart.
We're very smart, and I thought that I really thought that that Sam, like he's Anthony Mackie is just a brilliant actor. Mm-hmm. I've just everything I've seen him act in, he just does so well, and mm-hmm. I really thought that he carried that emotion in the show that allowed us to almost like live it. I know like there's a conversation about. You know, black pain and how mm-hmm. there are a lot of, they, I wouldn't say a lot, but they, I've seen enough to kind of take note of it. Like black creators, black people who are saying like, we're done with the pain. Mm-hmm. We're done with the black pain. Right. And it's just that the way it was done in Marvel is something that's never been done before,
mm-hmm.
right? For super in a superhero show.
I was going to say, and you don't often see that, like, the right. intersection of I'm a superhero, but I'm also
right.
Like this. Like, I'm right. also a woman. I'm also black. I'm exactly. also, like, you know, anything like that. Yeah. Like, they haven't done that. I mean, they've only hinted at having characters from the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community.
Right.
Like, they've hinted at it. They're like, right. they're like, someone here's a lesbian, and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, but like you'd never talked about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, or you're like J.K. Rowling, and you see it 5 years later.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
But like, what? And I think that that's just something that I thought was well done. And that scene with Isaiah Bradley and Sam Wilson sitting there in a room, and he's just like, Isaiah Bradley's like, they will never let a black man be Captain America. It just made me think of someone like Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And just when you look at political history and the political kind of journey of the country since 2008,
mm-hmm.
just seeing just how the impact of Obama becoming president, why a lot of white people just have gone nuts, just gone nuts. Like the things that they have gone along with, the things that they have accepted just to maintain that superiority, what they feel makes them superior, and you know, Trump and so much, it just shows like the outrage, the white rage that came out of it. And you almost kind of see Sam in the same light where you're like, yeah, there are a lot of people that got outraged. And to be honest with you, in the conversations that were happening on social media around this show, mm-hmm. on this show, you know, black creators getting sent death threats,
mm-hmm.
right? Death threats because they said this show is about race, mm-hmm. you know, and people saying, no, it's not. It's not about race. And the fight and the conversation, it was just so, to be honest with you, this show was an experience that not only, like, it just encapsulated the world we live in, and not only captured it, but it almost like, came out of the TV screen and just like grabbed out, like it's almost like a seamless transition, right, to the real life mm-hmm. conversations.
Yeah.
And because there were people that were literally, I remember a pundit, this guy was like, and I'm like, why do you even watch, you know, Marvel? Marvel literally is against every single thing you're for. Anyways, this guy is giving me a commentary and he's going like, I think the Captain America should be Bucky, should be this person, and clearly he's saying racist things.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's amazing. It's amazing how this show literally started real life conversations because that was the goal of the show. And I think I've seen a lot of, like, you know, what's his name has done, Jordan Peele has done movies that show, Get Out, it talks about white bodies, black bodies, and how they're used and so forth. And you have, Lovecraft Country, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I've just never seen a show that, in a sense, triggered a lot of white people, yeah, too. And so that's just something that I think Marvel just did something incredible, phenomenal. It does show there was polarization when you look at the numbers. When you look at the rating, like, from the audience, it's slightly lower than the, but it does show there's a bit of polarization there. But I mean, it's still a win. Still a win for them, to have that much conversation happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that was the point, though. I think the point was to be like, hey, we're going in a new direction, and like, you either keep up or you get out. Like, that's kind of where they're at with it.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to talk a little bit about Carly, because I feel like for me, like, I'm not black, so I feel like I can't talk about like the black experience in the U.S. and like how that kind of hit me. Like, I find all of that relevant to conversations I'm seeing, and I know that there were a lot of people who really felt that. But I think for me, Carly, I felt like Carly was so relevant to today. Like, first of all, they completely modernized that character. Like, that was just like a dude, right? Like, the Flag Smashers, like, that was like a guy. And they instead made her like a young woman. And I just think that that's something that we're seeing in society today, is like how much young people are really like taking hold of activism.
Right.
And yeah, being activists, And like, when you look at Carly, like, I get her. Like, I get her. Like, anyone who's like, oh, she wasn't like scary enough, or she wasn't this, or she wasn't that, I'm like, she's not supposed to be scary. Like, you're supposed to sympathize with her. And if you don't sympathize with her, like, you probably don't sympathize with most refugee situations and like what's going on with immigration and things like that around the world. Because her whole thing is that there, for 5 years, like, they had to get the world back on track. We actually saw this really funny TikTok about it. It was like someone did like a cartoon where they were talking to Thanos, and they were like, the earth has enough food to sustain everyone. The issue is that, like, people are hoarding resources.
Exactly.
So you shouldn't knock out half the population, because now you've knocked out populations that can like work and make things work. Like, you should knock out the people who are hoarding so that the resources can get to the right spot, or you should be reallocating the resources.
Like, snap your fingers and distribute, like,
or expand
the universe if it's too small. Yeah,
like,
it's not.
Like, fix that. Like, don't cut people, like, don't cut things in half.
Right.
But it's like, a whole civilization's like, I mean, we saw Endgame. You know, like it looks like a mess. The world looks like a mess at the beginning of Endgame. Like, they haven't gotten to a place where they can sustain certain things. There's like cars left over in places and stuff. Like, people just moved into spaces because they could. Like, there were people who got out of bad situations and moved to other countries where there were better situations. And it's like, that was 5 years of work. They did something for 5 years. Like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And then the second everyone comes back, suddenly they're displaced again. And I think the one scene that really got me was like just seeing like the refugee, like where they were staying, like that refugee camp, right? Like, where people are getting sick and dying. Like, they said, we asked for resources. The teacher is like, we asked for resources 6 months ago. We haven't gotten anything.
Wow.
Anything. And then you see the GRC, global repatriation committee or whatever they're called. Like, they're literally sending in soldiers, like, they're peacekeepers in quotes. Like, it felt so much like Hunger Games, like the peacekeepers come in. They're really, they're police officers.
Yeah.
Coming in. They're not even police officers. The army, essentially, coming in to like, to just make these people, like, to just suppress these people. So it's like, yes, you need to care about the people who got dusted, but you also have to care for the people who were already there. And it's like what Sam said at the end, like this was a big enough deal that like people are rising up against you and like fighting you, like really fighting you, and people are helping them fight you. Like you should pay attention to this. Like you can't just like just decide like we're just gonna move people around. Like you need to have a good reason to do it.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, I just really, I thought that that was really timely. I mean, there was the Syrian refugee crisis, and then like it really started the conversation of like refugees. And like, I think we found out the U.S. was only taking like, it was like nothing refugees wise.
Like a low number.
It was a super low number.
Yeah.
Yearly.
Yeah.
That they were taking from Syria.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, you hear people say like, oh, we have like our own resources and we have this, and we have that. And it's like, yeah, but if you were in a situation like that, like you would literally do anything to get out of it. Like if you were in like
anything.
Poverty or like, you know, especially with kids, like trying to get your kids somewhere where they can actually like go to school and be safe and all that. Like, like, why would you not try to get out of that situation?
True.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought of the situation in Palestine. And I think one of the things that I find very heartbreaking and it's really sad is I think Carly is an unintentional villain, like, or rather she is a unwilling villain. She's just so pressed and forced in a situation where they're dying, you know, and stuff is happening to them. And these guys who are rich and powerful are just reckless about it, you know. And that is something that you see a lot. And you know, I'm someone who's also I'm interested in politics and kind of like how politicians think, how people think, parties and so forth. And one of the things that I have seen, you know, in the States is Americans will disagree on a lot of things. But one conversation that goes sideways is the conversation on Israel, right? And any criticism is then seen as anti-Semitism, and which I have, like, I've kind of addressed it before, and I said, look, like, you can address nations and so forth, and you can say Israel, the government, is doing something bad while saying, I will fight anybody who's anti-Semitic. If you're anti-Semitic, we're going to have issues. You know, we don't hate people for just because they're people, you know, but if people are doing wrong things, we have to correct
government.
It. If people, the government, we have to correct it, and we have to have conversations about that.
Yeah.
And that's just something that in the last month has been happening a lot, where people have been saying, yeah, you know, we are 100%, 100% for the Jews and in, like, for their right to life and happiness and joy. At the same time, we stand for the same things for the Palestinians. We want, so we will confront and we will have conversations with, about, you know, the rights of Palestinians and how horrible it is that they're getting killed. And so Carly, for me, represents a lot of the things, like groups like Hamas that are coming out, that, yeah, like, they're terrorists, and or rather they terrorize and they attack, you know. But one of the things Sam says, he says, don't call them terrorists. He says, don't call them terrorists. Even though Khalid said had murdered people straight up, because I think Sam is tapping into something very powerful. Because I think what happens is when people hear the word terrorist, when people hear the word, like, yeah, terrorists, immediately your mind shuts down. A bomb can be flown into a preschool, right? But if you hear the word terrorist, it's almost like you lose a certain element of compassion for the people that are getting murdered. Even though Israel bombed the heck out of schools, hospitals, where kids got killed. I think over 60 kids got killed.
Yeah.
They still, there's almost like, even amongst, you know, liberals and, you know, amongst Democrats, this hot, like, this tension that happens because the word terrorists are spoken. And yes, but the question is, and Sam always, like, I loved it. I loved that speech. He said, why we need to ask the question, why? Mm-hmm. Why is this person the way they are? Why do terrorists exist in the world today? Why are they there? Are they just, did they just wake up in the morning and decide we want to be terrorists? Or are they responding to hardship that we caused? Mm. You know? And can we be part of the solution? And mm-hmm. I thought that was very powerful, is that the word terrorist itself, yes, like Carly, if Carly was captured, she would go to jail. She'd get arrested. She'd get, you know, the punishment she deserves for murdering people, right? At the same time, that element of just switching off and refusing to ask ourselves, why did Carly act the way she did? Mm-hmm. That's something that Sam confronts so powerfully. And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought a lot of people did not really pick up on that subject, which is interesting to me. Because I think a lot of people don't think about that subject. A lot of people picked up on, I mean, there was polarization and denial.
What do you mean didn't pick up on that subject? The
subject on Carly Morgenthau, on flag smashes, the refugee, the terrorist subject, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people did not really want to talk about that because, yeah, there is more of a like, people aren't really empathizing with Carly that much. So people don't really connect with a character like Carly because they don't fully understand. But they connect with Sam. They connect with Isaiah Bradley because there's that immediate connection to...
Well, because I think they're also seen as, like... I think we're kind of stuck still in that, like, hero-villain a little bit, especially when it comes to the superhero genre. So it's, like, Carly's introduced as, like, the villain, kind of. Like, but then you're supposed to come around, I think, and be like, she's not really the villain. Like,
exactly.
The villain is not listening and not having compassion.
Exactly. For others. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. To say, like, there's a reason behind everything. And I think that's what Sam is trying to push for. That's what Sam is trying to. And I think that's just a conversation not many of us are ready for. We're not ready to see outside the spectrum of who we are. As a black man, I will struggle to listen to women, right? Like, I will struggle. Like, I was sharing this week about my experiences with walking in a park and seeing a white woman, like, and then she turns around and walks away. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's racist. But then at the same time, I'm like, no, but she's a woman, and they've had so many bad experiences, and as a man, I should respect that. Even though as a black man, I have this weird feeling, yet it might be there, but as a black man, I need to respect the fact, like, hey, she's a woman, she's probably had bad experiences, I need to step back and wait and let her feel safe, right? And so, but I am, even though I'm oppressed as a black man, I struggle to understand the oppression of another person, and I think that's the same deal that we saw in the last month when it comes to Palestine. It was harder to get people to have empathy for the kids that were getting bombed because they're not us. But it's easier for me to respond to something that happens to a black person. And so I really think Malcolm Spellman did so, it was so smart, really good writing there to talk about those issues, to say, hey, let's have the refugee conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk about that. And I think he addresses it so straight on, but in a way that I think it does confront, like, our lack of intersectionality, our lack of saying, hey, I'm black, but I need to care about refugees too. I need to care about a lot of people who are from the Latina community, Mexicans, they get killed too, you know, by police. You know, a lot of women get attacked. A lot of, like, so there's so many, there's the trans community. Everything is connected. Mm-hmm. I think the true villain always turns out to be, like, yeah, you're right, like, misunderstanding and not wanting to listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 What did you find very, like, relevant from this, like, as theme?
From the movie?
Mm-hmm. series, technically.
To be honest, I think the theme of this show, I would say the theme of the show is Sam accepting his role and the complications that come with it. Right? Like, it's the complication of just complication of life and how you can become a hero even in a situation where the people that you're protecting also hate you and don't like you, right? And I think Sam is finding himself, and I think it does speak to, you know, there's, I mean, it's like tons of race conversation there, you know? And I think there is a lot of black people today who are celebrating Juneteenth. We got a book called Jubilee that has all these meals, and we watched High on the Hog, and it talks about...
definitely recommend that. It's a Netflix series. It's
so good.
I think 6 episodes. It's like kind of like a docu-series about food. It was so good.
Amazing.
Yeah, very, very well done. It takes you through the history of African-American cooking, and they literally start in West Africa in the first episode, and they have food historians that walk you through the entire thing. And at the end, they promote this one book.
And I think part of the show is black people saying, we built this. We have to also own it. We also have to say this is ours too. And that's something that just hit me hard. The show starts in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of takes the journey in a way from through the gate of no return.
Yeah.
Where slaves were taken past and then to America, and then seeing like just what black people have contributed to the culinary universe.
It's
insanely good. But then realizing that black people it's almost like I'm holding on to a hot plate, you know, even though this plate is, I built this plate, but this plate is burning me and hurting me, but I need to hold on to this plate because I have invested so much in it.
Yeah.
So I need to hold on to it until it cools down. Like, I need to. So it's kind of that situation with America. It's like America still shows hate, still shows, you know, there's police brutality, there is prison systems, there is redlining. There's still a lot of things that black people go through. But at the same time, black people can also rise up, have the opportunity to rise up and be the hero too in that story. But that's a hard conversation to have, to say, like, you know, a black man knows, and Isaiah Bradley rounds it up. He says, America will never allow a black man to be Captain America. And then he says, and even if they do, no self-respecting black man will want to.
That episode, I was like, I don't know if Sam's going to become Captain America. Like, yeah, I legitimately was like, I wasn't sure if he was going to. I didn't know. That conversation actually like shook me. Because the whole time I was like, okay, like he's going to have like his moment is like, he's going to grow. It's going to grow into it. It's going to be great. And then I was like, actually, I don't know.
Right. You like, because he said, I should have destroyed it. Mm-hmm. You're like, is he going to destroy the shield? Are we going to have like an intense scene where he just melts the whole thing? Like, it's like, oh. You know, and I just think it's such a powerful theme. There is so much pain in the black community, but there's also so much hope when it comes to America. Hope in terms of what as a nation we can become, like what can happen moving forward. There's so much hope, and I think black people are engaged so much today in saying, I'm going to fight for this to happen. I'm going to fight. And I also love the beauty of that. The black struggle is not a standalone project. It's a package deal. It comes with standing with the refugees. It comes with standing with women. It comes standing with the LGBTQ community, plus community. It comes with so many different factions of saying, hey, when I say I'm truly standing for justice, for the black community, like Sam Wilson displays it beautifully. Like, he could have just said, oh, they like me now. Like me. And he could have just moved on. But he went like, no, don't call them terrorists. Then he just hits them with facts and goes like, you could help them. You could do the right thing. And I think that's just beautiful. And it shows the intersectionality of the struggle and the conflict within black people, but then the resolution that comes out of it that says, yeah, this country did us dirty, it messed us up, but we need to fight for it, and no one can tell us, like what Sam says, he says, and no one can tell me that I cannot fight for this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a beautiful show worth dissecting and mm-hmm. just like understanding some of the themes.
It's honestly, it's so rich. Like,
yeah,
there's so much in there and the conversations are so deep. Mm-hmm. I even, Zemo became a favorite, Zemo, right? Mm-hmm. And him just talking about like supremacy, like mm-hmm. what an interesting like topic to talk about, right?
Right.
Like just because they like how anyone becoming like better in whatever way. So like having super soldiers just automatically like essentially makes you a supremacist or can lead to down that mm-hmm. line of supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like, that's kind of crazy because Zemo's like a villain.
Yeah.
He's a villain, but, and he obviously does terrible things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like he has a point,
mm-hmm.
you know, he has a point. Mm-hmm. So I thought Zemo was really nicely put in there. And I think you also can't talk about this show without talking about Johnny Walker. And
exactly.
how he was given the mantle of Captain America. Yeah. One of the things that I really liked about that is that they put him in such close proximity to black people.
Mm.
Like, has the black best friend,
mm-hmm.
has a black mm-hmm. wife, you know, mm-hmm. like... All of that, like, they, you know, they make him look like a good guy.
Right.
And it's not that he didn't care for Lamar. Like, he clearly did. I mean, like, he went psycho for Lamar.
Right.
Like, went literally psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's that, I think it's that we're almost kind of looking at, like, what Captain America was before. Because, like, I mean, like, let's be honest. Like, Sam was just the wingman.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the main character before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, yeah, Johnny Walker isn't the Chris Evans version, you know? But mm-hmm. but it's that, like, that view. That, like, point of view of, mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm a good guy towards these people. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. intentionally racist or anything.
Yeah.
But it's that, like, you know, not caring about what like matters for them or holding them up or like making mm-hmm. them the star, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, hey, I'm not racist, now serve me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. I thought John Walker was interesting, like that whole first scene with the HBCU band and mm-hmm. he's married to a white woman, a black woman, and he's like you said, the best friend is black, and so like that kind of like made us go like, oh, they're trying to get us to like this guy? Like,
yeah.
I just think there's a certain level of reality to that. Like, if the number of conversations I've seen of people saying, I married a black woman, so I can say this. Or,
well, yeah.
I have my best friend is black, and I can say this. And I think that's just something
I think that was the conversation that they were hitting at.
Right. Like, yeah, just because you have all that does not mean that you value black lives.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that, you know, you're doing it for something in return, you know, like service, like mm-hmm. someone to support you, to be your wingman. Because, mm-hmm. you know, John Walker, he kept saying, like, you know, I thought Captain Steve Rogers' sidekick would want to work with me. And
yes,
stuff like that. Like that. He just wanted to rack up, like, all this. Like, he works with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, they work with me. And I think that's something that I think just shows, like, sometimes that some of that nature of, like, yeah, like, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to be in, as a black person, that being community with white people, because you don't know whether they want you, you know, you hear the terms shut up and dribble, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it's like black people were like, LeBron James was loved, just praised and loved by people. But the moment LeBron James stepped out of the role that was given to him to say, look, we've given you this role, we've given mm-hmm. the money, you're rich. Him stepping out and saying, hey, look, Black Lives Matter. And people say, "Went like, shut up and dribble,"
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that's something that I think John Walker gives me that vibe of, like, they're best friends, but there's a condition to it. There's a condition that comes with the friendship that then leads him to a place of kind of like being crazy psycho the way that it was.
Yeah. I mean, I think that also leads to the conversation of like the military and like what like what that looks like. I mean, to be honest, like he has one moment where like, yeah, it's very public. Like he literally murders someone in public in the Captain America thing. But like they then strip him of everything. They strip him of his insurance, of his like, of literally everything, any benefit that he received, even though he like, they considered him their top soldier, like their top soldier. And this has been a conversation in the U.S. for a long time where like we've had issues with like soldiers with PTSD and everything. And, and they'll like go some, they'll like shoot someone or, the, or, you know, kill themselves or stuff. And like, people will be like, there aren't enough resources for people who come back from war in the U.S. And like, that's what I see when I look at John Walker. I'm like, there were not enough resources for him. Like he, there's that one scene where him and Lamar, like right before he decides to take this super serum, where him and Lamar are talking and he's like, we had to make so many hard decisions in Afghanistan. Like that was a hard war. That was a difficult war. That was a dirty war. Yeah. You know? And he, you know, they're talking about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, he literally is just doing what he was trained to do. And he says that in front of the hearing. He's like, I killed for you.
Right.
Like, I've done this for you. You made me
what I am.
And you made me what I am. Like, you made me into this. And, like, I just think that that's such, like, a commentary on, like, support and, like, what war does and, like, all of that to, like, people.
Absolutely.
And what happens when they come back, you know, to, into normal society. And it's like, how can you expect John Walker to make good decisions? You know, he... He's not... He doesn't... He's not the same as...
Steve Rogers.
Yeah, as Steve Rogers. Like, he's not the same. Like, Steve Rogers was trying to get into the military and then couldn't.
Right.
Because of his size and everything like that. Like, they're just different. I'm excited. I was very happy to see that he's becoming a U.S. agent. Because I think he's a really good actor. Wyatt Russell's really good actor. He, like, honestly, he did, like, in one episode, it's like they he completely went psycho and, like, rocked it. Like, I just think acting, casting in general phenomenal. Was phenomenal. I feel like this is the first time that we really got to see Bucky. And, like, there have been so many Bucky stans out there for a long time. But, like, let's be honest. Like, Sebastian Stan has, like, zero screen time in the MCU.
Right.
I feel like the only reason why people love Sebastian Stan is because – it's just because, like, Steve Rogers loves Bucky. Like, you know how, like, sometimes, like, I think I would argue the exact same thing of Loki. I feel like people love Loki because, A, they love the comic book version of the character, or because Thor loves him. Because, like, to be honest, he's the he's kind of the worst. Basically, into Thor Ragnarok, Loki's the worst. He was literally the first villain in Avengers. He was the villain. He was the bad guy. He murdered a bazillion people. That was him. Like, and yet people are like, we love him. He's forgiven.
Yeah, I mean, one day we're all gonna have the uncomfortable conversation of the obsession with anti-heroes. Or bad guys. You know, and how we love them so much. It baffles me. Anyways,
that's gonna be
a conversation for another time, because I genuinely think it's kind of, there's something wrong about that. There's something just like says something about society. But anyways. Really, you know, you're right. Like, he got screen time, like, in this show, in Falcon Winter Soldier, and he's definitely going to get more screen time later on. But yeah, like, before, it was really, like, Captain America who introduced us to him and said, I love this guy, and we're like, okay, cool, he's cool. And then now, you know, he's kind of figuring all that out, and I think it and the show ends on a good note where he's kind of, like, coming to a place where he's healing, he's doing the work, as Sam said. Mm-hmm. And
And then we, of course, can't finish this episode without talking about Io.
Io.
I loved that they brought the Wakandas in. Mm. Like, I love that literally, like, things that, like, you can't talk about breaking Zemo out.
Mm-hmm.
And where Bucky is right now without talking about the Wakandans.
Because mm-hmm.
it's, like, full, like, I was just so happy that they brought them in. Mm-hmm. I love the fight scene with the Dora Milaje. Like, mm-hmm. that, like, and in such a tight room.
Right.
Like, phenomenal fight scenes. Scene. Yeah. The choreography of the fight scenes was amazing. I also really love when Bucky and Sam are getting the shield away from Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
Like, that fight scene choreographed so well.
Yeah.
Like, so, so well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really well written. Yeah, Devon Io is such a cool character. I'm glad also that Danai Gurira is coming back. And, you know, as the general.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I was kind of thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if Danai Gurira is coming back and if they're going to have what it's going to look like, or are they having Io kind of take the lead? Because we don't know how Black Panther dies.
Yeah.
We know that at a certain point, Black Panther is going to die.
Yeah, right? They need to do something.
We just
don't
know how it happens. And so, but there were some crazy speculations of, like, people saying, like, in this show, you know, Zemo is going to go here. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, for the last, I'm avoiding the accounts that I've blocked on TikTok because they are just conspiracies. They're constantly going, like, let me tell you what's going to happen now. Then the week later, they're like, this show sucks because it didn't do what I said was going to happen.
Yeah. Even though the story is good,
so they it's just, good. Like, you decide.
Suck.
You know?
Like, leave the story alone.
Right. So that's, it's great.
Any other thoughts before we leave?
I think I'm good. I'm good. I left it all on the table.
Yes, all on the table. We loved it. The villain was race. Racism.
Mm-hmm.
Racism. That's racism, the villain
racism,
here.
Racism.
And we loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. So we will close this down.
Yes. So next week we're going to be diving into WandaVision. And then, full disclosure, we need to actually come up with, we made a whole list, but we didn't put them in order yet of what we want to cover in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
But we're definitely doing WandaVision next week because I just hecking love it. Like, I think I've watched it so much that I'm a little nervous that I'm going to get an email from Disney Plus that's like, you've watched WandaVision once a week since it aired. Is something wrong? Do we need to check in on you? Like, I'm a little worried that that's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, she's watching a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.